Democrats in the U.S. House issued a subpoena today for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full report on his Russia investigation. That's including secret grand jury information. Today on ABC's Good Morning America, House Judiciary Committee Chair Gerald Nadler explained the reason for the subpoena.
We have to determine what the proper course of action is to deal with a president who's been shown in this report, very clearly shown to lie all the time, culture of lying. The Russians were clearly out to help Trump. They couldn't prove criminal conspiracy, but they were certainly proving cooperation.
This morning, President Trump tweeted that some statements about him in the Mueller report are BS, although he used the full word for his nearly 60 million followers. So let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable, Kimberly Atkins, WBUR Washington correspondent. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi there.
And Chad Pergram is Fox News senior Capitol Hill producer. Hi, Chad.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's start with this subpoena from the House Judiciary Committee. Chad, might there be any smoking gun in the full report once Congress and maybe even the public see what's in it?
Well, this is what's interesting. Doug Collins, the ranking Republican on the Judiciary Committee, said that the subpoena was wildly overbroad. But Jerry Nadler did not rule out impeachment yesterday. And this is this very fine line that Democrats are going to have to walk. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has ruled impeachment being off the table. I followed up with her staff last night, and they continue to assert that. But earlier this morning, she was in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and was asked a question. And she indicated that, the House of Representatives will do its, constitutional duty of oversight and exercise its Article I authorities under the Constitution. Now, this is kind of how Democrats have to drive down both sides of the street. You have liberal Democrats who say, this maybe gives us an opportunity to impeach the president. That's bad politics for moderate Democrats from swing districts. That's why they won the House of Representatives. And they want to talk about opioids and Medicare and health care issues and other types of bread and butter issues. So to have this conversation lingering for Democrats when Barr is going to come next week, and again, maybe when Mueller is going to come up toward the end of the month in May, that just drags this on and on. And it makes it very hard for Democrats to get away from this message. They're going to have a conference call among House Democrats Monday afternoon, and this is where I talk about them trying to drive on both sides of the street, where they'll try to placate some folks in their caucus by saying we're having oversight, but not going to the mat the other way.
Right.
But some Democrats will say that what Robert Mueller left here was this trail of breadcrumbs, Hansel and Gretel style, through the congressional forest here, saying this is not a legal remedy that I can address.
Right.
This is a constitutional remedy, and you have to do it on Capitol Hill.
Okay, so Kimberly, if they're not going to move toward impeachment, it's an open question, but if they're not going to, we spoke to a couple of Democrats yesterday during our special coverage who said, not yet on impeachment. Then what is the overall result of the Mueller report coming out to the public?
Well, aside from the fact that it lays out the really stunning breadth of Russian interference in the 2016 election, which is sort of not being talked about here, I think this is an opportunity for Democrats to show after that 2018 election, we are taking our job at the oversight about the oversight of this administration seriously. Just because Nancy Pelosi raised the bar very high on impeachment, didn't rule it out completely, but substantially raised the bar on the issue. And also because there is still a Republican Senate that is not going to convict the president at this point. If there are articles of impeachment brought, there's still an election, and the Democrats seem determined to find out everything they possibly can about what happened
leading up to the election, just to give voters more information about.
I think
what's
it's
going
to
on.
Give voters more information and to get to the bottom of what Robert Mueller and his team said is evidence of obstruction of justice. And Mueller basically invited Congress to take a look at it.
So the issue of the campaign to Russia context was something that the House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff talked about today when he was describing the campaign's contacts through Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Here's Adam Schiff.
Whether the obstruction of justice was criminal or not, or whether these contacts were sufficiently illicit or not to rise the level of a criminal conspiracy, they are unquestionably dishonest, unethical, immoral, and unpatriotic, and should be condemned by every American.
That's Adam Schiff speaking yesterday. Chad, is there much movement right now to specifically investigate those contacts in Congress?
Absolutely. And that's why the Barr testimony is going to be so important here in a couple of weeks, and why prospectively Mueller, his testimony will be important, because Democrats, and for that matter, some Republicans, will want to square what Barr is saying with what Mueller is saying and vice versa. But, you know, the one thing that everybody can agree on is that there was a lot of effort by Russia to influence the election, or attempt to influence the election, kind of this psyops, you know, this asymmetric threat that was launched. And that's going to be back in 2020. And, you know, there's been a lot of criticism after what happened in 2016 that Congress thoroughly didn't address these vulnerabilities in our election system to, you know, social media propaganda or even the security of election systems. We'll see if they use the Mueller report as an opportunity to go off in that direction.
And Kimberly, how aggressive are those moves? And since the evidence seems to be laid out there by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, does it seem as though it's equal aggressiveness between Republicans and Democrats?
It seems uneven at best. I would think there has not been the swift movement to protect the election systems that I think you have seen a lot of folks on both sides of the aisle want. Folks at Homeland Security and others seem to have been very slow moving in this effort. And so it remains to be seen if the focus will be so much on the White House that these other preventative methods to protect the election systems of the United States will sort of fall as a second thought. I mean, remember that this report, we have learned, first we thought that 21 or so states' systems had been attempted to be interfered with by the Russians. We've now learned it's all 50. And so the problem is growing. It's not receding. And Congress does need to act, as does the administration.
But does it seem to be a bipartisan effort?
There is definitely bipartisan concern. I think the open question is where the effort is.
I want to ask about a couple of administration officials who have come under some scrutiny in the last 24 hours. One of them is White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. This morning, ABC's George Stephanopoulos asked her about admitting to investigators that her claim that countless FBI agents supported the firing of James Comey was not based on fact.
Why can't you acknowledge that what you said
was not true? I said that the word I used, countless, and I also said, if you look at what's in quotations for me, it's that, and it's that it was in the heat of the moment, meaning that it wasn't a scripted talking point. I'm sorry that I wasn't a robot like the Democrat Party that went out for two.
So Sarah Sanders is coming under fire for not telling the truth to the media, and the Attorney General Barr is also coming under a lot of criticism for acting like the president's lawyer rather than the lawyer for the United States of America. Chad, do you think that there are going to be some heads rolling in the administration after this report?
I'm shocked that there would be a communications director, a press secretary, a spokesperson who would try to spin things in Washington, D.C. I'm absolutely shocked. I'm aghast that would happen
in
Washington, D.C.
That wasn't a spin.
I've never had that happen.
Wait, that wasn't a spin. She said something that was just not true.
Right. No, I understand. And that's the issue there, too, is that, you know, I don't cover the White House, but there are people who cover the White House who have had their problems with Sarah Sanders and the way that she has handled things and handled the briefing there. By the same token, you know, that was the issue with Barr having his preemptive press conference before the release of the report that Jerry Nadler criticized. In fact, Jerry Nadler held a press conference Wednesday night to try to preempt Barr, to tell Barr that he shouldn't have his press conference Thursday because he thought he was trying to get ahead and spin the narrative. That's the problem that Democrats faced with the rollout of this report when Congress was not in session. And so you had this tit for tat and one upsmanship back and forth with these dueling press conferences Wednesday night with Nadler and then Barr before he published the report on Thursday morning.
Kimberly, 2020, we have to spend a little time on that. Joe Biden, it sounds like, is running for president, reportedly. That's according to The Atlantic, and will be announcing next week. Where will he fit into the crowd?
Well, that's the open question. He is buoyed right now by high polling numbers before he's even gotten in. He's setting up his organization, and supporters think he's in a good position to come in and sort of be the cool hand, the experienced guy, to make a contrast with Donald Trump. There's a lot of concern within the Democratic Party that he will probably peak at the point he enters the race and probably lose support from that point, as we see other people, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, others continue to move forward and rise. So it's an open question. We will see where he, if there's enough room in the middle that he's trying to occupy.
And Chad, what else are you noticing in terms of how the campaigns are lining up right now?
Well, the fact that Bernie Sanders demonstrates that he can command a lot of money, that's important. And Pete Buttigieg is kind of in the same boat there. That's where we'll start to have attrition, where we have this gigantic field right now. People like Eric Swalwell and Tim Ryan, House members, Tulsi Gabbard. It's typically harder to raise money from the House. And if you have, you know, the big contenders, maybe like Biden or Harris or certainly Sanders at the top, you're going to have attrition at the bottom because people just can't keep up in the money race.
All right. That is Chad Pergram, Fox News senior Capitol Hill producer, Kimberly Atkins, WBUR Washington correspondent. Nice to talk to you both. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And I don't know if we're going to have something the size of the Mueller report to talk about next week, but I think we, based on the news cycle these days, Lisa, we are probably going to have plenty to discuss next week in our politics roundtable.
Yeah, no
question about that.